Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim, Daf Tes Zayin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a Mishnah is brought on this Daf that states that Yosef ben Yoazi Ish Tzareda testified on Mashkin Beis Mitbechaya Dochan about the Mashkin of the Beis Hamikdash butchering place that they are Tahor. Rashi says that this means they do not become Tamei. Explains that the Mashkin mentioned are blood that would escape from the offering during slaughtering and water with which the meat would be washed after the butchering. Rav and Shmuel disagree on what Yosef ben Yoazer meant in his testimony. Rav said, Dachan Mabish, that the blood and water of the place of butchering are literally Tahor and are not Makabel Tuma at all. The Gemara explains that Rav said that Rav Yosef ben Yoazer holds that Tumas Mashkin is a Durabanan, and the rabbis were Gozer Tuma on Mashkin outside the base of Migdash, but in the butchering place they didn't enact this decree. Shmuel said, Dachan Melotame Tumas Acherim. It means they are Tahor in the sense they are not Metame other things, about Tumas Atzman Yeshlan, but they are subject to acquiring Tumah themselves. According to Shmuel, Yosef ben Yoazer holds that Tumas Mashkin is a Deraisa, in that the Mashkin itself can become Tame, but being able to Metame something else is only the Rabban. This, the Rabban, was a decree on Mashkin outside the base of Mikdash, not inside. Point number two, the Gemara brings a number of challenges to Rav's opinion. The Mashkin are not Makamal Tumah at all, Mederaisa. Our Brisa states, Al Maha Tzitz Meratzah, for what does the Tzitz affect acceptance? Al Hadam, Maha Basra Al Chel V'Shenikma, for the blood, meat, or chel of a carbon that became Tameh. Ben B'Shogeg, Ben B'Mezi, whether invernally or deliberately, Ben B'Onis, Ben B'Ratzon, whether through a mishap or willingly, Ben B'Yachid, Ben B'Tzibor, and whether the offering was brought by an individual or by the community. This Brisa says that the blood of a carbon is Makabel Tumah. Clearly, then, Yosef ben Yoazer meant to exclude the Mashkin in the butchering place only from contaminating other things, for only this law is a derabanan. But Mashkin are Makabel Tumah Midaraisa. The Gemara answers that Mashkin are only Makabel Tumah Midarabanan. And this Brisa, which holds that the Rabban imposed Tumah susceptibility even upon the butchering place Mashkin, doesn't accord with the opinion of Yosef ben Yoazer. And point number three, as part of a challenge to Rav, the Gemara brings a statement from Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, who said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Menayin l'dam kadshim she'eino makshir, from where do we derive that the blood of kadshim is not makshir? From the pasuk regarding the blood of an animal that states, Al arz tishbechenu kamayim, you shall spill it on the ground like water. This teaches that blood which may be spilled on the ground like water is makshir, like water does. But blood that may not be spilled on the ground like water, such as the blood of a carbon, which must be received in a kli and applied to the mizbeach, is not makshir. So once again, the three points are, number one, a Mishnah is brought on this daf that states that Yosef ben Yoazer Ish Tzareda testified on Mashkin Beis Mitbechaya Dochan about the Mashkin of the Beis Hamikdash butchering place that they are Tahor. Rashi says that this means they do not become Tameh and explains that the Mashkin mentioned are blood that would escape from the offering during slaughtering and water with which the meat would be washed after the butchering. Rav and Shmuel disagree on what Yosef ben Yoazer meant in his testimony. Rav said, Dachan Mamish, that the blood and water of the place of butchering are literally Tahor and are not Makabel Tumah at all. The Gemara explains that Rav said that Yosef ben Yoazer holds that Tumas Mashkin is a Derabanan, and the rabbis were Gozer Tumah on Mashkin outside the base of Mikdash, but in the butchering place they didn't enact this decree. Shmuel said, Dachan Melatame Tumas Acherim. It means they are Tahor in the sense they are not Metame other things, aval Tumas Atzman Yeshlan, but they are subject to acquiring Tumah themselves. According to Shmuel, Yosef ben Yoazer holds that Tumas Mashkin is a Deraisa, in that the Mashkin itself can become Tameh, but being able to be Tameh something else is only the Rabbanan. This the Rabbanan was a decree on Mashkin outside the base of Mikdash, not inside. Point number two, the Gemara brings a number of challenges to Rav's opinion. The Mashkin are not Makabel Tumah at all, Mederaisa. Abraisa states, Al Maha Tzitz Meratzah, for what does the Tzitz affect acceptance? Al Hadam Ba'al Basra Al Chel V'Shenitma, for the blood, meat, or chel of a carbon that became Tameh. Ben B'Shogeg, Ben B'Mezi, whether invernally or deliberately, Ben B'Onis, Ben B'Ratzon, whether through a mishap or willingly, Ben B'Yachid, Ben B'Tzibur, whether the offering was brought by an individual or by the community. This Brisa says that the blood of a carbon is Makabel Tumah. Clearly then, Yosef ben Yoazer meant to exclude the Mashkin in the butchering place only from contaminating other things, for only this law is the Rabban. But Mashkin are Makabel Tumah Mideraisa. The Gemara answers that Mashkin are only Makabel Tumah Midarabbanan, and this Brisa, which holds that the Rabban imposed Tumah susceptibility even upon the butchering place Mashkin, doesn't accord with the opinion of Yosef ben Yoazer. And point number three, as part of a challenge to Rav, the Gemara brings a statement from Bichia bar Abba, who said in the name of Yochanan, Menayin l'dam kadshim she'eino makshir, from where do we derive that the blood of kadshim is not makshir? From the pasuk regarding the blood of an animal that states, Al arz tishbechenu kamayim, you shall spill it on the ground like water. This teaches that blood which may be spilled on the ground like water is makshir, like water does. but blood that may not be spilled on the ground like water, such as the blood of a carbon, which must be received in the kli and applied to the mizbeach, is not muksher. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Tes Zayin, and the simon is toes. So here goes. The Kohen tiptoeing through the tahor blood of the beis mitbechaya was stopped by the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz to make sure he had a kli to receive the blood of a carbon and not let it spill on the ground. Once again, in slow motion. The Kohen tiptoeing, that must mean we're on Daf Tes Zayin. The Kohen tiptoeing through the tahor blood of the beis mitbechaya, which reminds us that it's a malchokas Rabban Shmuel regarding what Yosef ben Yoezer meant when he said about the mashkin of the beis mitbechaya that they are tahor. Rav said, dachem mamash, that they are literally tahor and are not mekabel tumah at all, because he says Yosef ben Yoezer holds tumas mashkin is only the Rabban, which was enacted only outside the beis mikdash. Shmuel holds it means that they are tahor in the sense they are not metame other things, but they are subject to acquiring tumah themselves. According to Shmuel, Yosef ben Yoezer holds that tumas mashkin is a deraisa, in that the mashkin itself can become tame, but being able to metame something else is only the rabbanon. This rabbanon was a decree on mashkin outside the base of mikdash, not inside. So the Kohen tiptoeing through the tahor blood of the base mitbechaya was stopped by the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz, which reminds us that the braisa that stated that the tzitz is meratz for dam tame did not go in accordance with Yosef ben Yoezer. So the Kohen tiptoeing through the tahor blood of the beis mitbechaya was stopped by the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz to make sure he had a kli to receive the blood of a carbon and not let it spill on the ground. Which reminds us that we derive that the blood of kachim is not makshir from the pasuk regarding the blood of an animal that states, "Arz tishpechenu kamayim, you shall spill it on the ground like water." This teaches that blood which may be spilled on the ground like water is makshir, like water does, but blood that may not be spilled on the ground like water, such as blood of a carbon which must be received in a kli and applied to the mizbeach, is not makshir. So once again, the Kohen tiptoeing through the tahor blood of the beis mitbechaya was stopped by the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz to make sure he had a kli to receive the blood of a carbon and not let it spill on the ground. All right, now it's time for a four-block back chazara. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simur Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers. 12 brothers. That must mean we're on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers who owned a diner who were peppered with 7 questions, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Mishnah from Sanhedrin Daf Mem Amud Aleph that states that in regard to witnesses who testify that they saw someone kill, the court would check the trustworthiness of each witness with 7 questions about when and where they saw the killing. During which Shemitah cycle, which year of the Shemitah cycle, which month of the year, which day of the month, which day of the week, which hour of the day, in which place? These questions are in a category called chakiros. There are other questions, chabadikos, which Rashi explains are such questions as, what did he kill with, a sword or an axe? The Gemara on Ardaf asks what the practical difference is between chakiros and badikos, and answers that regarding chakiros, if one witness answers that he doesn't know, their testimony is disqualified. Because it's testimony that cannot be refuted through hazama. Since the second set of witnesses will be unable to prove his testimony was false by testifying he was somewhere else at the time of the crime. If one of the witnesses cannot answer one of the bedikos, their testimony is still accepted, since their testimony can be refuted through hazama. Rashi explains that whether the accused was wearing black clothes or white ones has no bearing on the time and location of the offense. So the 12 brothers who owned a diner who were peppered with 7 questions about the patrons who came for breakfast throughout the morning, which reminds us, the Gemara brings up rice that lists the times that different people eat in the morning. Shal Rishono Machal Ludim, the first hour of the day is when a cannibal tribe called the Ludim eat because they're gluttons. Shnia Machal Listim, the second hour is when thieves eat, who are also gluttons but get up later since they're up at night. Shlishi is Machal Yorshim, the third hour is when inheritors eat since they do not have to work. Revis Machal Polin, the fourth hour is when workers eat because they have to carry out their work first. Chamishi is Machal Talmidei Chachamim, the fifth hour is when Talmidei Chachamim eat since they're busy learning they should wait until the last possible time. Shishi is Machal Adam, the sixth hour is when all other people eat. The Braisa concludes, Mekan ve'eloh kazorik evan l'chemes. One who eats past this hour is like one who throws a stone into a leather sack. Rashi and Shabbos and Daf Yud Amud Aleph explains this to mean either that it's harmful to the body or that it's not harmful to the body, but it's not helpful either. Abai said this was stated only the low tam midi b'tzafet, when he did not eat anything at all in the morning. However, if he ate something in the morning, this doesn't apply. So the 12 brothers who owned a diner who were peppered with 7 questions about the patrons who came for breakfast throughout the morning recognized the picture of the suspect, but some said he came before Nates, and others said he came at the beginning of Nates. Which reminds us, Rav Simi Bar Ashi said that the Mishnah in Sanhedrin regarding a discrepancy in testimony was only taught b'shavos, regarding discrepancies in the hours of the day. However, if one witness testifies that he saw someone kill before the rising of the sun, and one witness testifies that he saw the person kill after the sun rose, their testimony is disqualified. The Gemara asks that this is obvious since people do not get confused between these two time periods. The Gemara changes the wording to Abal Echad Omer Kodem Neitzachama, Ve'echad Omer Betoch Neitzachama, Edus Mbetela. However, if one witness testifies that he saw something before the rising of the sun, and one witness testifies that he saw something during the rising of the sun, which Rashi explains to mean at the beginning of the sun's rising, their testimony is disqualified. The Gemara says that this too is obvious, and then clarifies that one might have thought that they're saying the same thing, and the one who said it occurred at Neitz was present at the glow before sunrise, and it was merely a radiance he saw, and he mistakenly thought the sun was already rising. Rav Simon Barashi is coming to say that no one would make such a mistake. Daf Yud Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy. Bar mitzvah boy. That must be more Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah boy who ran through the crowded marketplace Erev Pesach looking for guests to eat his family's chametz, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice that when the 14th falls on Shabbos, Mevarin is a common from the Shabbos. We dispose of everything before Shabbos, with sorfing trumas tameos, tuyos, utahoros. And we burn chametz truma foods that are tame, suspended, and tahor, and we'll leave over enough tahor food for two meals, enough to eat through the first 4 hours of the day. These are the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, Ish Bar Tosa, who said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. The Chami said to him that the tahor truma should not be burned, for perhaps people can eat them, will be found. Rabbi Elazar said they looked for people to eat the chametz, but couldn't find them, so there's no point to holding on to it. They replied that perhaps they stayed overnight outside the wall. He responded that in that case, they shouldn't burn the Safek Tami truma, since Eliyahu might come and rule that they're tahor. And they responded that we have a tradition, Shein Eliyahu ba, lo barvi shabbosos, v'lo barvi yamin tovim, mifnei atorach. That Eliyahu would not arrive Erev Shabbos or Erev Yantin because of difficulties it would impose on people to have to interrupt their preparations to greet Eliyahu. So the bar mitzvah boy ran through the crowded marketplace Erev Pesach looking for guests to eat his family's chametz, bumped into a man with chametz leaking out of his bag. Which reminds Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav that the halakha of Rabbi Yehuda that we suspend the chametz during the fifth hour and that it cannot be eaten, but it does not need to be destroyed. The Gemara cites the support of Rav Nachman from an incident with Yochanan Chalkokah, who was given a saddlebag full of chametz as a deposit. When mice pierced the bag Erev Pesach and the chametz was leaking out, he asked Rebbe what he should do, and he was told to wait during the first 4 hours. Rashi explains that the owner might come and eat the chametz before it becomes prohibited. In the fifth hour, Rebbe told him to sell it to the market. The Gemara initially assumes and then confirms that Rebbe meant he should sell it to Nachim in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda, who holds chametz is prohibited after the fourth hour. So the bar mitzvah boy who ran through the crowded marketplace Erev Pesach looking for guests to eat his family's chametz bumped into a man with chametz leaking out of his bag, who was peering through his binoculars at the two challahs psulos placed on top of the itztaba. Which reminds the Mishnah and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis state that two pasul challahs that were brought with the Karban Todah are placed on the itztaba, a bench on the Har HaBayis. As long as they were placed here, everyone ate chametz. When one was removed, they would suspend chametz, meaning they wouldn't eat it or burn it. When both were removed, they burned the chametz. The Gemara Amud Beis here asks how they became pasul, and Rabbi Chanina said, Metok she'yu merubos nipsalos belina. Because there were so many Todah offerings brought the day before, they became invalidated by being left overnight. The Gemara goes on to explain that Todah offerings were not brought Erev Pesach when chametz is still permitted. She'ein mevin kachim ubeis apsul. We may not expose offerings to a situation where they will become pasul. Daf Yadalit. So the Simmer Daf Yadalit is hands. We use a juggler in the Simmer. So here goes. The Tamei juggler. Juggler, that must be more in Daf Yadalit. The Tamei juggler juggling pieces of shlishi meat with Rishon meat, which reminds us, the next Mishnah and the following seven blot are known as the Sugya of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohan because the Mishnah opens with the following statement. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohan said, Mimeim shel kohanim lo nimnu melisrof es habasar shenitma bevladatuma im habasar shenitma ba'avatuma. In all the days of the kohanim, they never refrained from burning meat of kajim that had become tame from a vladatuma, making the meat a sheni, together with the meat of kajim that had become tame from an avatuma, making the meat a rishon. Apo pishon mosifin tumal tumasu, even though by doing so, they added a degree of tumah to its previous tumah. Rashi explains that since the meat was being burned away, the kohanim weren't concerned about an increase in the tumah. The Gemara begins by asking what tumah is added, since a sheni that touches a rishon remains a sheni. Rav Yehuda said, "Hachem b'vlad vladaskinen the havelei shlishi." Here we're dealing with meat that became tameh through a sheni, making it a shlishi, and by burning it together with a rishon, raises it to a sheni, and Rabbi Chanina holds it's mutter to make a shlishi into a sheni. So the tamei juggler juggling pieces of shlishi meat with rishon meat while chomping on wet seeds touched by a sheretz, which reminds us, the Gemara persists in questioning how the degree of tumah was increased since food cannot be matame food as it was taught in a brisa, yachu ye ocho matame ocho. It might be thought that a food can be matame food. The Torah therefore states, Talmud lomar v'kiyutin mayim al zero v'nafum nivasam alav tamehu. But if water has been placed on a seed, and then their carcass, referring to a sheretz, falls upon it, it is tame. The phrase it is tame implies that the seed itself is tame, but it cannot make something else of its nature, meaning another food, tame. Therefore, when one burns meat that is a shlishi together with meat that is a rishon, what tuma is being added? The Gemara concludes that although a food cannot be matame another food midoraisa, it can be matame midorabanan. Rabbi Chinin was teaching that one can burn the shlishi meat with rishon meat, even though it becomes asheni midorabanan. So the tame juggling pieces of shlishi meat with rishon meat while chomping on wet seeds touched by sherets wowed the crowd when he balanced a lamp of trum oil on top of the point of an avatuma sword that was perched on the tip of his nose. Which reminds us that in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva added, "Mimem shel kohanim u'minim u'mahadlik as Hashem shenipsal b'tvul yom b'ner shenitma t'mei meis." In all the days of the kohanim, they never refrained from lighting truma oil from a tvul yom, who was a sheni, making the oil a shlishi, in a lamp that had become tamei from one who became tamei from a corpse, making the lamp a rishon, even though it added a degree of tuma to its previous tuma. The Gemara asks what Rabbi Kiva is adding, since it's the same case of a shlishi being touched by a rishon to become a sheni, like Rabbi Chanina's case. If you'd answer that we're dealing with a metal lamp, of which the Torah teaches b'chal of cherev, the body of someone felled by a sword. Cherev haru kachala, a sword or any metal utensil that touches a dead body is itself like the body in regard to tuma, and becomes an avi avosa tuma. If it touches a person who touched a corpse, it becomes an avatuma like the person. Rabbi Kiva holds that truma, which is a shlishi, may be made into a rishon when it touches the lamp, which is an av, a tuma. Dav Tezvav. So the simmer Dav Tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The winemaker dashed and grabbed his tummy fruit bowls. Fruit bowls, that must mean we're on Dav Tezvav. The winemaker dashed and grabbed his tummy fruit bowls to capture truma flowing out of the broken cask of the wine press, which reminds us, in the Mishnah on Dav Yud Dalet Amud Av, Rabbi Meir said, "Medivrei melamanu, shesorfin truma tahora imetamei bepesach." From their words, we learn that we may burn tahor chametz of truma with tamei chametz of truma erev Pesach. The Gemara in Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis asks, "Midivreim deman," from whose words? After rejecting the first suggestion, Rabbi Meir was referring to the words of Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara brings Reish Lakish, who said in the name of Bar Kapara, that Rabbi Meir was referring to the words of Rabbi Yeshua, brought later in the Mishnah, who says that one may burn safek tamei truma chametz with tamei chametz. Rabbi Meir derived his rule from a teaching of Rabbi Yeshua in a Mishnah from Trumos, in which Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with Rabbi Elazar in a case where a cask of Truma wine broke in the upper vat of a wine press, and the lower reservoir contains chulin wine that is Tameh. If one's not able to salvage a revius of Truma in a state of Tahara because he has no Tahor vessel, Rabbi Elazar says, the Truma should be allowed to flow down and contaminate the chulin, and one should not contaminate with his own hand by taking a Tameh vessel, even though he would save the chulin. Rabbi Yeshua said, he may even be metame the truma with his own hand by capturing the truma in a tame vessel. Thus, we see that where truma is about to be rendered unusable, Rabbi Yeshua allows even contaminating it with his own hand. So the winemaker dashed and grabbed his tame fruit bowls to capture truma flowing out of the broken cask of the wine press to save his expensive chulin below, which reminds us, in response to Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi said, "Einahi amida." It's not analogous, referring to Rabbi Yeshua permitting one to capture tamei wine in a vessel from the broken cask, even though he's metamei with his hands, to the case of permitting one to burn safek tamei truma chametz with tamei chametz. The Gemara asks, "Mida umidahi?" It is perfectly analogous. The Gemara answers, "Ashani hasim de ekavset chulin." No, it's different because there's the consideration of the loss of chulin in the reservoir. Rabbi Yeshua allows being metamei the truma with his hands in order to preclude a monetary loss if the truma was mixed with the chulin. In the case of burning safek tamei truma chametz, he might forbid being metamei with his own hands, even where it's about to be destroyed. So the winemaker dashed and grabbed his tamei fruit bowls to capture truma falling out of the broken cask of the wine press to save his expensive chulin below, while everybody outside was tossing their tahor chametz of truma into the fire with the tamei chametz at the seventh hour. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, "Malchokas b'sheish al b'beshev v'divrei kol sorfim." The Malchokas ben Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir pertains only during the sixth hour ever Pesach, when chametz is asur midrabanan. That Rabbi Meir permits burning the tahor chametz of truma with the tameh, and Rabbi Yossi forbids it. But during the seventh hour of the day and later, all agree that we may burn them together. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yossi concedes that once chametz is forbidden midrashisa, we may burn the tahor chametz of truma with the tameh, since it's tantamount to tameh truma. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number 1, which stuff do we learn from the incident of Yochanan Chukkah? The Rebbe holds that Rebbe Yehuda, the chametz becomes prohibited after the 4th hour. That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 2, which stuff do we learn the difference between Chakiros and Bedikos? That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good. Number three. Which daf we learned that Dam Kadshim is a maksha from the pasuk of Arz Tishbechenu Kamayim? That's on daf Tazayin. Good. Number four. Which daf the Rabbi Shu permits being matami truma with one's hands in the case of the broken cask of truma about to flow into chulin? That's on daf Tazvav. Good. Number five. Which daf we learned from the pasuk of Bechal Cherev? We learned that a metal kli takes on the same degree of tuma as a mace or of a person who is an avatuma. That's on daf Yadal. Good. Number six. Which something when everybody agrees that's mutter to burn tower truma chametz with tamei chametz at the seventh hour? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number seven. Which something when why Rabbi Yehuda was concerned that one might come to eat chametz after the bedika, but not chadash before the omer was brought? That's on daf Yudav. Good. Number eight. Which something when the Gemara leaves the question as a take if one needs to climb up a ladder to remove chametz from a ceiling beam? That's on daf Yud. Good. Number nine. Which something we learned that the braisa that says that tzitzis maratza for tamei blood is not in accordance with Rabbi Yosi ben Yoezer? That's on daf Tazayin. Good. And number ten. Which something we learned from the pasuk of kiyut and maim that food cannot be matame food midoraisa? That's on daf Yudav. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which something we learned about alechia omed me'elav? That's on daf Tezvav and Erevan. Good. Number two. Which daf do we have the Mishnah that lists the Lamed Tes Molachos? That's on daf Ein Gimel. Good. And number three. Which daf do we have the whether Shema is a Deraisa or Derabanan? That's on daf Chaf Aleph and Brachos. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.